last two pages. We're two best friends who love to read, just can't keep it to themselves. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Megan. And on this episode of Bookmarked, we'll be talking about The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab.
Good work.
Welcome, everyone. I messed up and said The Secret Life of Addie LaRue in a previous take.
It's okay. She's forgiven.
I don't know why I thought it was The Secret Life. The Invisible Life. That makes way more sense. It ain't a secret. Addie be living.
Well, it kind of is a secret.
Well, she just be... No, it's just forgetful.
Dun, dun, dun. That's true.
So welcome to Bookmarked. Most of you have been here before, but this is where we take a book or a series and break it down. And just give you a full review on how we thought it was. Most of these books that we review are honestly what we loved about the books. We wouldn't be giving you a bad review per se for a book that we love. Like a whole episode about a book we hate. That seems a little negative. So, spoiler alert, we loved this book and it was great.
Correct. And yes, Bookmarked is technically, we made it for series, but we decided to switch it up because we have free will.
Right.
And this is for funsies, so we can do whatever we want.
Whatever we want. Cheers to that. How have you been?
I am overcoming an allergy-induced cold that, like, wiped me out for days. Hmm. And it's currently snowing here in Minnesota, and we are in that false spring that everyone thought we were in, but I didn't believe them. How many times am I just going to talk about the weather? In this,
you do. Whenever I ask you how you are, you're like, ugh, the weather.
it controls a large part of my mood.
Yeah, that's my work. I guess your profession too.
I work outdoors. But how I'm doing, really freaking hate this snow.
Yeah.
If it would have came like 2 months ago, I would have been happier, but we're in a winter weather advisory. Woohoo. But me outside of the weather, I'm tired.
Right.
I'm hanging out. I don't know. Love my family.
I'm happy to hear that.
I almost said love my dog, but my dog is dead. So I do love my dog.
So Teresa's doing great, is what I'm hearing. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good. You know that we record these episodes depending on the week, a few weeks before they actually go live. So the next day I'll be going to visit my partner Parker, and I'm very excited for that. Because Teresa is gonna
partner Parker
house sit for me and Miss Nova. So I honestly am grateful for you that you are house sitting for me. I don't know what I would do without you, but I also just, I know it's probably good for your head to just be like, have your own space, be alone.
I have my own space in my house.
Read, I guess. I don't know. I never have my own space when I'm at my parents' house. So
I don't know. I like staying in your place. It's cozy.
Close to the cities. In case you want to do anything. You don't have any people there anymore, though. So do you have friends in the cities?
I have friends.
Just teasing. I'm just teasing.
I do, in fact, have friends in the cities. Some are leaving 10 minutes from here. I know. Shocker.
Oh.
I have friends outside of Megan.
Not possible.
No.
Not possible.
That is not believed.
Anyway, so The Secret, The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, The Secret.
I think there's a book called The Secret Life. I think.
I know there's The Secret History.
Oh, I think that's what I'm thinking of.
There's a little life. It's all just mumble jumbled in my head.
Either way, this is not any of that. This is The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab, whom we love. It's honestly, she is kind of hot or not for people.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll tell her, you all, why she's hot for us. So a synopsis of the book. I feel more... I keep switching my hands. I can't decide what hand
I switch mine.
Oh, you do?
Switch mine. This is the first time Teresa has ever held her mic, and she's testing it out.
I feel like I'm on American Idol.
You kind of are holding it like a...
I'm on American Idol, and I want to do, like, the Disney knees. I gotta go my own way.
What about us? What about everything we've been through?
But what about us?
You know I never wanted to hurt you.
And what about me? Anyways, The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. The synopsis. France, 1714. In a moment of desperation, a young woman makes a Faustian bargain. Faustian, for those that didn't know that, I didn't know that. I had to look it up. It's basically a deal with the devil. That's what that comes from. It's making a bargain with, like, an entity of, like, your soul and trading. Fun fact. So a young woman makes a Faustian bargain to live forever and is cursed to be forgotten by everyone she meets. Thus begins the extraordinary life of Addie LaRue and a dazzling adventure that will play out across centuries and continents, across history and art, as a young woman learns how far she will go to leave her mark on the world. But everything changes when after nearly 300 years, Addie stumbles across a young man in a hidden bookstore, and he remembers her name. Love him.
Eat that up. So Teresa had mentioned that our author is somewhat of a hit or miss. I haven't read any other books besides The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by her, but you've read the Shades of Magic series and you talk about it in positive light. And so I feel like I need to get on this train. But Victoria E. Schwab grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and has lived several places. She graduated in Washington University in St. Louis with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in 2009. She had originally planned to actually study astrophysics, which honestly I think plays into some of her books.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, but changed directions after taking art and literature courses, which honestly makes sense. Once you take those classes that are like lifelong meaningful for you, I feel like everything changes. So she completed her first novel her sophomore year and then sold her debut novel, The Near Witch, to Disney before graduating, which so cool. Never heard of The Near Witch, but maybe it'll become something at some point.
That's what I'm wondering, like where that went.
No idea, but that's super, super cool. She came out as gay at age 28 and has written over 33 novels, which is crazy. The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue was written in 2020. Honestly, the best year for that to come out, I argue.
2020.
How are you in 2020?
I'm like, what even happened in 2020?
COVID?
I know. That's why that year is just blank in my mind.
I mean, that's kind of valid. It was a desolate period, I think, for everyone. There were not a lot of notable things beyond COVID. You know, like, I feel like the world kind of stopped. So there's not like...
I went to Hawaii, so...
Well, we're not all as lucky as you. Huh. So how did you end up reading the book?
I think you got it for me.
Did I? That actually kind of tracks.
Oh, no. My grandma got it and I just kind of got it from her because frankly she forgot about it because dementia. And I read it. I did read it at your house. I read it in a day. Just before the year was 2022, the month was December. Right before 2023.
Awesome.
Just over a year ago.
You read it like the physical book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. I read it in October of 2021, and I also read the physical book.
Wow.
Which, wild take for me, and not reading the audiobook.
Not often that does that occur.
But we wanted to include the audiobook actor anyway, just because I feel like that's super important and they put a lot of work into the work that they do. So Julia Whelan, she also did Funny Story by Emily Henry and The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid. So if you liked either of those books on audiobook, she also narrated those. So she's a great repertoire. So I want to read the audiobook version now knowing that she did it for those two books because I read
I know it counts as a read, but wouldn't you say listen?
No.
Okay.
I don't know, like
audiobook people, what do you, I count audiobook,
but like do you count your listens and reads separately?
No, I think it still can count, but would you say read or would you say listen?
I still just say I read the book.
I guess that's true.
But I like if someone specifically asked me how, I'd be like, oh, I listened to it over this period of time. You know what I'm saying? Something like that where I don't know. Some people are weird about audiobooks, and I just don't have patience for that. So the more it's just nonchalant. Like, yeah, no, I read it.
Yeah.
I put in the hours.
I count it as a read, but I don't know.
Interesting.
Just semantics.
Right, right.
Who's to say? Not me. Our characters. So, our main female character is Addie LaRue. She was born in Villon, France in 1691. She is a local woman. Estelle taught her about the old gods, but warned her not to call on them after dark. Estelle also told her she had 7 freckles, 1 for each man she would love someday. Addie's freckles play a major part in everything.
Mm-hmm.
About this. And in 1714, Addie is 23 and engaged, but she longs to be free. On July 29th, the night of her wedding. I'm pretty sure that's my parents' wedding anniversary.
Are you serious?
That's kind of funny. Anyways, the night Addie was supposed to get married, that my parents did get married on, she prays to the old gods. The night falls and the devil answers. Quotes. Addie asks to live freely and to have more time. As a gift, she offers her favorite possession, a carved wooden ring. But the devil rejects it. Instead, she offers the devil her soul when she's done with it. And he accepts. She's given eternal life, but no one can remember her. She wanted to live freely, in quotes, as soon as she leaves their sight, they forget her. So it'd be she's with someone chatting with them. They go to the bathroom. They come back out. Don't remember her.
Which is crazy. That concept was so wild. Isn't it like 7 seconds or something? I thought it was like if they don't see each other for like 7 seconds. Maybe I'm making that up, but I totally thought it was like that sort of amount of time.
You know, I don't recall that specific. Or like if they went to bed and woke up. Don't remember her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she's just like, you know,
is restarting with every person.
Almost every day you just have to restart with no one knowing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's crazy.
So the person that you learn about, who meets Addie in the bookshop, his name is Henry. He's in his late 20s and becomes the first person in 300 years to remember her. Having recently dropped out of graduate school, Henry feels aimless and insecure and terrified about wasting his life and not knowing what he wants to do or who he wants to be. An anxiety that gains a deeper significance once the reader learns new things. But overall, Henry was just kind of a Milo Thatch character.
Oh, absolutely.
In my brain.
Absolutely.
Milo Thatch from Atlantis, Disney, like 2000s something. Very nerdy, very like aimless is the best word I can put it at, you know? Mm-hmm. He didn't really know where he was going, and you kind of felt that anxiety when you were reading about him.
Oh, absolutely.
So it was interesting with him and Addie meeting because she was so full of just like despair almost.
And also they met when she tried to steal a book from him.
Which honestly, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, all right, you're back. And she was like, you know who I am? Me.
You see me?
Me?
You can't see me.
Okay, John Cena.
I know. That was pretty good.
You gotta do,
you can't see me. That was very intense.
Our other male main character, Luke. He is the darkness, the stranger, the devil. He's one of the gods who answers after dark that Estelle warned Addie about. And at first, Addie resolves never to summon Luke again after the first encounter when she makes the deal. But he turns out to be, he's the only one that remembers her. He's the only constant in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And so after centuries into their deal, the relationship kind of shifts. And Luke's interest in Addie is born of his desire to possess her. And he repeatedly fails to understand her. He just cannot understand that she would want to live in this life where no one remembers her.
I kind of love that male delusion.
Oh.
She has nothing to live for if it's not to be possessed by me.
Or like she has no worth outside of what people think about her.
It's crazy. Crazy behavior.
Literally.
So Addie, Henry, and Luke, they're characters with very little in common, but they're brought together by seemingly chance, but the mistakes the characters make and their attitude is what encourages the reader to reflect on life once the book is closed. Love is a huge motivator throughout the whole book, because love can cross time, can cross situations, all of that. Like, I don't know what to call it. Do you know what I mean? Like, love conquers all. Like, that's really the point of this whole book, is that, like, even if you're forgotten in 7 seconds, and even you have nothing to live for, like, love can change everything.
And which it's was not very love of, like, person to person. It's love of life.
Yeah.
And experience and art and friendship and good food.
Right. Where normally love is just like this little tiny like piece.
Is it?
Love normally is superficial in a lot of other books that I've read. Where this is one book that I was like, I felt something that I like have experienced. You know what I mean? Like, there's very few books, especially like fantasy, magical, somewhat sort of books that like hit me. That's the point of books, right? Mm-hmm. But some books do it better than others. This one hit that like love of life more than a lot of other books that I've read.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we also have a quote that is from the book right before our spoiler portion. So if you don't want spoils, GTFO.
Or skip to like the last 10 minutes to hear about what we're currently reading. Ma'am.
What she needs are stories. Stories are a way to preserve oneself, to be remembered, and to forget. Stories come in so many forms. In charcoal, in song, in paintings, poems, films, and books. Books, she has found, are a way to live 1,000 lives or to find strength in a very long one.
Great quote. Great quote. Great quote. Overall, excellent.
Well done.
She's a girl's girl. Love her.
She is a girl's girl. You are now entering the spoiler portion of this episode. So come to the end. Go all the way to the end if you want to know what we're currently reading.
So tropes. The biggest tropes, faded, magic, there's some queer elements, death, and age gap. Only age gap in the sense that Luke is basically immortal.
And so is Addy, but different levels of immortal.
True.
I was writing that in and I'm like, teehee, age gap.
I really did picture, Luke is like the tall, dark, handsome, and I keep on saying Milo instead of Henry.
I was picturing for Luke, like, dark academia, Kylo Ren.
Oh, interesting.
Do you know what I'm saying? That was my vibe. I was like that. Yeah. Okay. Sure. And then Milo Thatch.
Or that one guy on TikTok that does a bunch of transitions, and it's always him in a sweater vest and his, like, glasses afterwards, and everyone's like, a lot of people are, like, obsessed with it.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Oh, well.
Not on TikTok.
Everyone's like, the female gaze. And then everyone else is like, the men that want to be a part of book talk so bad.
Woof.
Our thoughts. So, here's the thing. What really drew me into this book is the relationship between art and, like, art history that was pulled into it. And how the way Addy found her time being spent is she would be with all these artists, and these artists wouldn't remember her, but they would like draw her while they're with her, or they would like dream about her, but they would never be able to picture her face, and they could just always remember her 7 freckles. And so she like influenced all of these artists and writers throughout the 300 years without any of them like knowing who she was. And one of the parts of the story is that Henry's coworker or friend almost did her thesis on this like mysterious woman through time that is vaguely mentioned, but, and it's the similar throughout all of these works and artists, but like no one really knows who she is. And it was Addy, and it was cool. And I loved, and I just love how they intertwined. And then we'd always get like a work of art every other chapter, because how the book works is that it's a flashback to Addy and like her time, like learning how to live with this new issue. And then it flashes forward to like current times with Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll flash back to like another instance where she's like learning the hardships of like being forgotten. Like she meets mm-hmm. this person, they like talk all day and like go on this grand adventure, and then they like wake up and he just thinks like she was a prostitute or didn't know, and then just like it was so defeating to her, but she like persevered because she's like, no, there's still more to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was very beautiful.
I loved that part of her. I also think that's why nothing really happens in the book. I don't know. I feel like the characters aren't growing, but it's also driven by the characters. Like, it doesn't have to, you don't have to grow with them, right? Like,
I think Addie, there's a lot of growth, especially with Henry. I think Henry has the biggest.
Okay, that's valid.
Growth in art.
Right. I was thinking more specifically Addie and Luke.
Oh, yeah. Addie's kind, they're kind of both the same throughout.
Yeah. Henry has a lot. I'm sorry. That was misspoke.
I was like, 'cause Henry has a pretty big character arc.
Yeah, no, he does. Poor thing.
That twist of like finding out that Henry could remember her because he made a deal with Luke blew my mind.
Twisted. Broke sick and twisted.
My heart. So sad.
It really made sense to me though, you know.
It was the Luke really, he is a little
mastermind.
Like for someone that wants to live so badly that they're like giving up being remembered to someone who like does not want to live anymore and like sold their soul for that. I'm like, This was one of those books where at the end, I just like sat there and stared at the ceiling and cried for like 10 minutes.
Right. I did the same. I also think the flow of the book makes a lot of sense. Like time is so fluid, but it also feels like it's clicking, like ticking down the whole time.
Oh, absolutely.
Like it's super slow in the beginning. You're like, okay, I'm just going back and forth between all of this, like what's happening. And then like you start to get into the middle and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, okay. And I think that's why you read it in one day. Because, like, by the end, it is breakneck speed. Like,
yeah.
What is happening? Oh, my God. It's down to the hour now, and time is still weirdly fluid. And, like, oh, ate that part up. I love books that do that.
And that's why a lot of people didn't like it, is because the writing, it's a fantasy, technically, but it's written like a historical fiction.
Mm.
And not a lot of people love that. I think V.E. Schwab has a lot of those characteristics in her writing when it comes to like historical fiction and the similarities with hers. And that's where it like loses some people, because there's just the large population of people we talked about books prefer a completely other genre.
Right.
But I love historical fiction writing. It's so artfully written, and a lot of people just think it's boring, and that's fair. I get it. I get why you think that.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I think of you, I definitely think of fantasy and historical fiction. That's why I think this book is just like the perfect storm for you.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's just amazing. So I loved it. I honestly have been thinking about rereading it, but now I want to audiobook it. I want to feel what like that ticking clock piece feels like.
I would love a graphic audio. Not like graphic audio, but like the different voice actors.
Yeah.
I would love Luke and Henry to have like their own.
That would be very interesting. Most audiobook actors can do a really good job of making it feel like there are other characters speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true. They usually do a pretty good job of it.
I'd be curious in how she makes Luke and Henry sound different, but I'm excited. I'll let you know if I get to it this year.
But I would say the people that get stuck at the beginning, I would encourage you to continue on. And those who have read it and hated it, yeah, I get it. I mean, yeah, if that's not your style that you like, it's not your style that you like.
I'm a totally plot-driven book person, and the fact that I liked this was kind of shocking to me, but I think what pushed me was that clock.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that felt like a plot, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where the characters aren't, like, they're doing things, but not, I didn't feel like it was that consequential.
Because I would say it's the plot that doesn't have a lot going on, but it's the characters that have, like, the whirlwind.
I love that we interpreted that differently. Mm. That's kind of crazy.
That is interesting. Huh. But still, we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I did.
What would you rank this book out of 50?
When it comes to how I rank books, it's mostly purely off vibes. Because, like, I'll finish a book and only remember, like, so much of it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, if I cried, I usually give it a 5-star. I know I gave Invisible Life 5 stars, so I'll say 49 just to, like... But the vibes were there. I loved it. Right. It was great.
I also probably gave it 5 stars, but honestly, I think... As I reflect on it, I probably would give it a 42 out of 50 with the intention of rereading. I think it's been so long that I haven't read it that maybe now is the time in my life. I say this a lot. Like, there's always time to reread books in your life mm-hmm. because it will affect you differently. And I'm so curious how it would affect me now because I think looking back at my life, I'm like... Why didn't I just know those things? Like, okay, seriously, true. That was impactful to me. Like, why? And now I like was rereading the synopsis and I was like, I really feel like this would be good for me to read at this point in time in my life. So maybe my decision will change. Maybe I hate the book. I have no idea. But I the ending, think about it fondly and intention to reread out of 42.
Yep. The ending does throw some people off. Just the way that she like
my favorite part.
Chooses Luke and... But Henry writing The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, that full circle, I was like, that was brilliant to me. Right. I loved that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, people will know her name. And he didn't even, like, sign his name as author, so everyone just saw The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. And I'm like, that's... And I was like, is she out there?
It felt right. It felt right. Truly.
It really did. And, yeah, she's out there living her best life. Happy. Ish. Fulfilled, at least. This just in. We are not talking about what we're currently reading. We're talking about what we're going to read. Because me and Megan want to try to do a little book club, if you will. And if you'd like to participate.
Our plan is... to read A Fate Inked in Blood, which Teresa talked about in our previous episode.
My TBR.
Of our TBR. And I was very interested in the book, and we figured that a lot of you guys are as well. The book is by Danielle L. Jensen, and I know a lot of you like her from Bridge Kingdom. So we wanted to do a quasi-book club. Basically, me and Teresa are taking the next 4 weeks from April 9th to May 4th. May 7th, just kidding, May 7th, and we are going to read this book. We're not going to be doing any formal book club or anything, but if people are interested, maybe we'll do a little Zoom and discuss the book when we're all done, sometime after May 7th when we release our episode of us talking about the book, if that would be of interest to y'all. But
yes. Yeah. I'm still reading Lord of the Rings.
I'm still reading The Poppy War. So we're both just... in a moment. We hope that you have a great rest of your day.
And hope you enjoyed this episode. And we'll see you on the next page.